Please turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, says the Lord Jesus, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. Many people in America, in that very enlightened country, before they go to work in the morning, consult the paper's column on what the stars foretell. I wonder whether any of you ever try that. For we live in a world of troublous times, uncertainties, fears and worries about the unknown. And people are lost, and they're looking for guidance. They turn to the stars. I had a friend who worked for the well-known firm called Caterpillar. And he says, my GM, whenever he faces a difficult decision, some big problem, he says, you don't disturb me, I'm going to my room. And he shuts himself inside there for 20, 30 minutes. He goes into meditation. And he finds his answer through some spirit. What do you do every day? When you left home this morning, did you pray? When you do anything every day, do you pray? What is the meaning of prayer? Why do you pray? My dear friends, we have the offer here of the Holy Spirit Comforter. John chapter 14 is a very wonderful chapter. It starts off like this. Let not your heart be troubled. We all have our fears and problems. You'd be exceptional if you say, I don't. Students, workers, housewives, old, young, we all have something that troubles us. Where do you find comfort, strength and enlightenment? Our wonderful Lord Jesus says to his disciples, mind you, at that time the disciples were not yet changed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were very worried because Jesus had been telling them over time, my 3.5 years with you is up. I must leave you. Think of a child, and the father or the mother says, I have to leave you. How does the child feel? And these disciples were like children in their spiritual age, spiritual maturity. They depended on the physical presence of Jesus every day, walking with him, seeing his miracles. They were comforted. They were at peace. Now the Lord is going to leave us. What shall we do? My friends, when you read Acts of the Apostles, you see what a different lot of disciples they were. Whereas before the coming of the Holy Spirit, They were a very childish, carnal, unspiritual, selfish lot of people. I want you to turn this to Luke's Gospel so that we have an idea of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is our topic for this morning. And if you do understand what the Holy Spirit did to the disciples, then you know He can do it for you. Luke chapter 22. Scripture is so wonderful. It doesn't disguise, it doesn't cover up, but it tells us just exactly what is what. Now, Luke chapter 22 talks of the Last Supper. This was the last time the Lord Jesus would dine with His disciples before He went to the cross. And having had that Holy Supper, that special meal, the last time, how wonderful. Surely the disciples must have been touched. And to know that our Master is going to die for us, they must prepare to rise to the occasion and to do what He has taught them to do. Did they? Verse 24. You will be surprised, marvel, amazed, that as soon as supper is over and Jesus left them alone, verse 24 says, there was a strife among them. Among whom? The disciples, the followers of Jesus, they were quarreling among themselves to say what? Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Jesus had been talking about a kingdom. Surely Jesus will be the king, and hey, Peter, James and John, who will be the prime minister? Who will be the finance minister? And so on and so forth. These thoughts went into the head. Dear friends, kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom, and it is time the disciples understood that. Not who is going to be the big number one, the boss. Jesus said to them, verse 25, the kings of the Gentiles, the worldly people, the organizations outside, the regimes, the kingdoms, they exercise lordship over the rest of the people, and they have authority. They have the secular organization, which is not the kingdom of God. This morning, we are part of that wonderful kingdom. How do you fit into this kingdom? How does this kingdom go on? How is it going to be governed? And all these things must be very of great concern to you. But it is not a worldly kingdom. Verse 26, you shall not be like them. He that is greatest among you, let him be as a younger. He that is chief, be the servant. There is a reversal of the authority and power and the hierarchy. This is the thing that has to be learned. How are they going to learn? Consider, dear friends, ourselves. How do we fit into the kingdom of God? And unless, until the Holy Spirit comes in to you and takes over the control of our life, your basic thinking, your value system, the way you conduct your life, your future and your ultimate destiny, who guides you? Transcendental meditation. Some people have Sai Baba charms around their necks and they feel confident. How about you? I want to relate to you how the disciples were changed. From this quarreling lot, they were going to take charge of the kingdom of God. And what chance of success will there be? Read on first here. Verse 29, Jesus says to them, I appoint you a kingdom as my Father has appointed to me, that you may eat and drink in this kingdom. Verse 31. Now, to Simon Peter, who was always the spokesman, the one who was very forthcoming to volunteer himself to be a leader of the group, our Lord had a special word, and this may apply to some of us here. Listen, verse 31. Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You have always been the strong one." And obviously, the rest also look up to you. You are going to be the leader, but you are going to face some very severe trial very soon. Satan is going to take you to pieces, sift you as wheat. Then the Lord says in verse 32, but, and here is a word of encouragement for all of us. If you think you are somebody on your own, you're going to serve the Lord in this way, in that way, Jesus says, I have prayed for thee, and that is the best thing. The best thing is to know that I have a Savior who prays for me, that I may be changed, that I may be transformed and brought into the control of the Holy Spirit. Verse 32, I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, meaning to say, today you are a Christian, but you need a change. You need the Holy Spirit to come into your life, convert you, Peter. You are always forthright, very fast in speaking and in doing. That's your nature, but you need to be changed, converted by the Holy Spirit Comforter, which I promise you He will come and change you. Then what do? Strengthen the brethren. You are going to lead the 11 in many ways. You have to be changed first. I said the Holy Spirit promised to all believers, He is available every day. Do you call on Him? When I was 6, I've told you so many times, you know this, I was sent to stay with grandfather. Grandfather was a godly man, a pastor. And the first thing he called me was, grandson, pray for faith and pray for the Holy Spirit. And he gave me a verse, and I'm going to give you now. The last verse of the last chapter of the first book of the New Testament. Can you remember that? First book of the New Testament is Matthew's Gospel. Last chapter, 28. Last verse, 20. All right, can you remember? Matthew 28:20. What does it say there? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And this was said by Jesus just before He went to heaven. And this is a wonderful promise. Why, my Savior says, I'm going. But then He says, I'm with you. Who's with me? This is the Holy Spirit. And this morning, that's our topic. I'm trying to lead you into the understanding of what the Holy Spirit does, who He is, how to have Him. So grandfather says, grandson, pray for Holy Spirit. Pray that He is with you. So I say this morning, you add this to your prayer list every day. And to your surprise, you are finding your life will be changed once the Holy Spirit comes. You will be changed as the disciples were changed from that disunited, squabbling, jealous, envious, ambitious, carnal, worldly people. How can the work of God be started, initiated by these people? Was Jesus making a big mistake to go to heaven and leave behind 11 quarreling disciples? The Lord Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan is going to try you, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are changed, that's what we all need to do. Work of the Holy Spirit is to change us. All of us are flesh and blood, carnal. We think of fleshly things, carnal things, material things. That's our thinking. Our mindset is like that. But we have to be changed like Peter. Jesus says, I have prayed for you. We have a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Right now in heaven on the right hand of the Father, He is praying for you and for me. When we came to trust in the Savior, to look to Him, the Savior of Calvary, and say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. I believe you are my Savior and only you can save me. You are saved to be a child of God. But you have to continue in the faith, in the following of Jesus, and in the seeking of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit comes, as I shall show you, when the Holy Spirit came, all the disciples were changed. How did it happen? Because Holy Spirit came. And I say, you too, for all who ask for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Jesus says, ask, it shall be given you. Now, back to Peter. Jesus said to Peter, you've just taken the Lord's Supper, right? We all took Lord's Supper. What is yours here? First Sunday or third Sunday? And you take it, and what do you do? I said, every time you remember the Lord in His death, it's to remind you of the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And His promise, when you pray, you ask for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will come. He is the promise, Spirit of promise. Now for the disciples, let's take Peter again. When Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan is going to do something bad to you, and you are going to fall badly. What did Peter say to Jesus? Verse 33, and this may mean you, you know. Don't say, well, Peter is like that. I'm not like him. I'm better. You may not be better. It may be worse. Now, let's see. But the Lord loves all of us. And the Lord is concerned with all of us. And He is concerned with Peter. He is concerned with you. Verse 33. Jesus said, Peter said to Jesus, Ah, Lord, don't underestimate me. You know, I'm Peter. I'm ready to go with you. Both to prison, to death. Why do you say that Satan is going to sift me as wheat? No, Lord, please, I will go with you. My dear friends, Peter in the flesh, maybe one of us, like all of us, yes. In the flesh, we make many rash promises. Rash words come out of our mouth. And as Peter said that moment, the Lord knew him through and through. Please understand always, the Savior who saved us is God Almighty. And He knows you through and through, no matter what you are thinking. He knows you already. And so He knew Peter. He knew how Peter was going to betray Him, to deny Him. So, verse 34, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow today, before you deny me three times. Amazing. What happened? Shortly after that, Jesus is arrested and He is put into the high priest's palace. Then Peter meekly went, following to see what is happening to my Savior, my Master. And the first thing was, a maid. You know what is maid? Like a Filipina maid, one of those who helps around the place. Does a maid look at him and say, hey, Pete, you are Peter, aren't you? You're one of them, one of those followers of that man over there who is accused, who is going to be crucified soon. Peter says, no, not me. Soon afterwards, another man asked him the same question. You are one of them, aren't you? No. Third time, and he swore, he says, not on your life, not me, I'm not one of them. Exactly as the Lord says. I said, dear friends, until the Holy Spirit comes, we deny Him in other ways. How many of you working in the office have ever told anyone that you are a believer? You are ashamed of Jesus, as Peter was ashamed of his Savior, because my Jesus is there, accused. Today you think of Jesus because, well, He's your Savior, you think of Him sometimes. But to the general public, who is Jesus? People know Jesus as that man of the film, Judas, or whatever film that comes along. That's about all that people know about Jesus. But you know Jesus. Do you tell others? How do I deny Jesus? My dear friends, think of yourself. How you are faithful and loyal to Jesus. And here is Peter. Three times exactly as Jesus said, you are going to deny me three times. Then, verse 61. Amazing Lord. I tell you, dear friends, every time you think of the Lord Jesus, think of this verse. Lord Jesus, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and their eyes met. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord that before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter was struck in his heart. How awful, I've done exactly what he said I would do, but I had told him, Lord, prison? Yes. Death? Yes. I said, dear friends, Peter fell, but Peter repented. Now we want to see the change. What changed Peter? On the day of Pentecost, we see a new Peter. Then, no need to say with the words that I'm ready to go with him to prison. I'm ready to go with him to death. There he was, in person, ready to go to prison, ready to go to the death for Jesus. Something had happened. Acts of the Apostles. Now we go to see what Jesus did for them and what He can do for us. Please turn to Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. Here is the final meeting of Jesus with His disciples, and may He meet with us here this morning. Verse 4. Jesus assembled with the disciples, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said He, you have heard of me, that whereas John baptized with water, you, my disciples and believers and followers, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is the promise. And the promise is to all of us, even today, we who follow the Lord must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Filled, that means. So that we can have a new power, a new principle in us, a new person, so that we can be changed. Verse 8. What for? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. These words to the disciples are for us today. You shall receive power. Without the Holy Spirit power, we have no power, no strength to be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here is the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. To the disciples was given this mandate. Jesus is going to heaven. On earth, only 11 disciples to start the church, which is the kingdom of God on earth. How can they do it? The Holy Spirit come upon them, will change them. He is the Spirit of Jesus. Please turn now to John's Gospel again, chapter 14. How will they do it? The verses that we have read will explain very clearly. Verse 12. Ye shall receive power is seen here in the prediction. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. God has a plan, a perfect plan. Jesus come down to die for us. He has completed his work. Risen from the dead, he must ascend. This is God's plan, and Jesus told his disciples four times, I must go. And because of this, they were so worried. But Jesus promised, when I go, you are going to do greater works. We saw this in Acts 1:8. Yes, Jesus ascended to heaven, Holy Spirit will come, and the disciples will be changed. Verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth. Verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, but you see him, and you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you without power, comfortless. I will come to you. Coming of the Holy Spirit was on the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost changed the whole group of the disciples from useless, divided group into the group that stood before the thousands in Jerusalem. You will please now turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Acts of the Apostles, Peter standing up with verse 14. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 14. Day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit had come. Suddenly the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were changed and they began to preach in the tongues of the people in the different languages. Verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and listen to my words. Jesus had gone to heaven, leaving behind only the 11 men. Peter, on that day in Jerusalem, preached the gospel. For the first time, the people heard the gospel in their own tongues. They were amazed because everyone heard the gospel in his own language. And they could not understand what was happening. But Peter told them, this is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you have to repent. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. On that day, the people heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit began to work. Verse 37, when they heard, they were pricked in their heart. When the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, it convicts you of your sin. And they said to Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a change! Day of Pentecost changed the whole group of disciples. From then on, whether it is prison or death, they were not in any way afraid of that, but they declared Jesus and Him crucified. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. My dear friends, this is the beginning of the church, and the disciples were changed from that day. Now today, let us ask ourselves, where do we fit into this plan of salvation of God? How do we go about it? This church is formed here because of the working of the Holy Spirit in a group of men that continue to be witnesses. And this is what Jesus wants us all to do. Are you ready? Are you praying? Are you being used of God in some way in this church to continue the work of the Holy Spirit in the extension of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the salvation of souls? Today, 21st century, we are going into the last of the last days, and the Holy Spirit must use us, rekindle the first love in us, energize us, send us forth, that we may be able to do God's work, God's way, for the salvation of souls. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray for this church that was established because Thy Spirit was on the founders, that they, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, have led a group to establish a witness in this place of worship. I pray that Thy servants here will continue the work established by their founding pastor, that we change from useless disciples like the 11, we may go forth with Thy gospel because Thy Spirit is in us. Help us that we may daily look to Thee, pray to Thee for the Comforter, as Thou hast promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, and I will be with you. O Lord our God, may your people hear every day, pray for the Holy Spirit Comforter, who will come in and change our lives, to cleanse us from our sins, and to show us Thy way, Thy will, Thy work, and Thy plan in our lives. For Jesus has ascended, and He is coming again, but He has left us with this glorious gospel message to go forth for the saving of souls before the Lord Jesus returns. O Lord, we confess before Thee, we have not done what we ought to have done. We have done things our own way, gone our own ways of the world. I pray that Thou would revive us, revive this church, revive Thy people with the Holy Spirit descended from heaven into every heart. Hear our prayer. Grant us Thy blessing. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.